All right, so tonight we're talking about I want to escape the corporate world. Should I take another position that doesn't require such stress? Yes, let's all take something else. We're stressed.
Okay, you get the presentation now. I'm leaving. Enjoy. This is my gig. Oh my goodness. All right, let's see what we can put together here tonight for change. Well, we'll be talking with the masters in just a little bit, but what we're looking at this particular time is what's the biggest factor in what we should consider if we are thinking about leaving the job. And of course, you mentioned the work-related stress. We're trying to get this thing to go. But there's a couple of things we need to be thinking about. What is work-related stress? You don't like it. Well, a lot of us don't like our jobs. There's no question about that. But there's a couple other things that might go along with that to help us make our minds up. What? Are you enthusiastic about going to work? And the particular scenario that I'll be presenting tonight is, it's Saturday afternoon. You got 30 or so hours before you're going to be at the office, and it's already hitting you. What am I going to do when I get there? I hate my job so bad. La la la. Then we have to start thinking about health concerns. Are you noticing that you're having more blood pressure problems? Starting to become overweight? Difficulty sleeping? All these things come into play. And so the bottom line, at least from my standpoint, is where's your health at this point? If your health is deteriorating, mental and physical, then it's probably time to move on. And of course, your support system there may not be well at all. You may have a boss who doesn't support, that's kind of grinding on you all the time. Coworkers, that it's the me type of person. They don't want to help. There's no team spirit. They're trying to take from you. Anyway, a lot of things to look at. Bottom line, health. But tonight we're going to talk about a gentleman who had lost passion for his job. His job was supposed to be a judge, one of the judges of Israel. Gentleman's name was Gideon. Gideon had lost his passion for being a judge in Israel. It's not really his fault, because what had happened is typical through the saga with the Israelites. They had left God and they had returned back to Baal again. They really liked Baal. It must be that, I don't know, what did we talk about?
Sex and drugs and
The
rock
rock and
and
roll.
roll.
That's it. That's horrible. But anyway, we all know what Jezebel had them doing, so they seem to always turn back to that. Just too much for them. The issue became he was the fifth judge that they had. And it had gotten so bad with the Midianites, who were their enemies, that they were having to live out of the hills, clefts in mountains, in caves, just wherever they could find and not be out in the open. The reason for it is the Bible says the Midianites were so populated in that area when they were coming in like an army on the Israelites that they were like a plague of locusts. There were so many of them. A herd of camels. You just couldn't see all of them coming at you. And they were destroying crops. They were killing the cattle, the sheep. There was nothing. They were just devastating the whole land. And the Israelites, at that point, got to that, they started crying out to God. God is sending Gideon now to help. Well, what was Gideon doing? Well, angel of the Lord appeared to him, and Gideon was using a wine press in order to store his crops, threshing them, so to speak, so that he could hide them from the Midianites that kept coming over and stealing everything that they had. So the angels sat down beside an oak tree, which was near where he was working, and said, brave warrior, how are we doing today? It's kind of like, huh? Who are you? And the angel said, you're going to be the one who delivers God's children from the Midianites. And he says, well, hold on there. If you'll do me a favor and just stay here, I want to be sure that I can make an offering to you. And in his mind, he's thinking, I'm testing to be sure you're real.
Right before we get into this.
Well, So we might say that was a little bit of weakness on Gideon's part. On the other hand, some of the stories we've covered before were a younger prophet, an older prophet was supposed to just go right through the territory and not stop anywhere. And an old prophet says, "Oh no, God said you came to me and you're supposed to stop here and see me." And of course, then we know that the young man died on his way back. He didn't make it back to where he's supposed to be. So I get it with Gideon. No, not that Gideon was aware of that story, but I am suggesting he was a little cautious. Can't blame him on that one. I'll give him credit for that. So Gideon turns around and goes, prepares a young sheep, also makes some broth, some bread, and he brings it back. And the angel says, throw out the broth, dump it out, but take the meat and the bread and lay it on its stone. So he did. The angel turned around, took his staff, tapped the stone, whoosh, all burned up and gone.
Wow,
Turns around, looks, the angel's gone. So he knew at that point that God had sent this angel for a purpose. Well, it doesn't end there. That later that day, that evening, the angel talked to Gideon again, or I should say that God spoke to him. And he was told that he needed to go and take the bull that his father had, cow, and sacrifice that cow, kill it, and apparently it was about 7 years old. But what they wanted, the angel wanted him to do, or the words he was spoken, was to take down the Baal altar. His daddy had an altar worshiping Baal there near the house. And also he had an Asher pole right beside him. And it was a wooden pole. But anyway, he was told to break that Baal altar to make a correct one for God. Take the wood from the Asher pole and to burn it, of course, for the meat from the particular cow that he was going to be using. He did so, but he did it in the evening because he really didn't want the neighbors to see what he was doing because he figured he's going to be in problem the next morning. The answer is he was in trouble the next morning. The locals came out, they're seeing that the Baal had altar been knocked down, the Asher poles, cut to the ground. They see, some burnt wood that was left. They went to his daddy and says, "You're going to bring him out because he's going to die for what he did." Dad probably heard him tell, or he probably told his daddy Gideon did what God had done. And so his daddy stood up for him. He said, "Look, what's your problem? Why are you trying to more or less fight Baal's battle? If Baal's really a god, he can come out here and take care of his son." Well, of course, nothing happened.
Hi everyone, I'm the Stoicist Lori Stitt. Are you ready to learn to match every situation you face to the Bible? I've been waiting for you. Let me teach you my STOIC training method. Learn to keep that continuous connection with God from now forward, forever. Join me at StoicMatchmaker.com, where all my training materials are free on registration.
Later that night, Gideon, is told to go over to the Midianite camp. Oh, well, hold on. Did anything happen before that? Yeah. God told him it was time to, quote, bring the army together, to summon them accordingly. Okay, so that's before he goes to the camp. Yeah, a couple things happened there. What happened there? Well, Gideon needed some more signs. So he says, "Well, let's do this. The first night, I'm going to lay this lamb's wool down, this fleece, and let there be dew only on the lamb's wool, but the threshing floor, it will be dry as a bone." Woke up the next morning, sure as a world, there it was. In fact, when he wrings it out, it's a bowl full of water from the lamb's wool. Well, that should have been good enough, right? No, he wanted one more sign. Just, one more.
Just to make sure.
Just to be sure. Now we're going a little bit too far in my book, but I'll give him credit. He says, this next night, reverse it. Let there be dew all over the ground, but no water whatsoever. Woke up the next morning. There we are. That's pretty good. So now he's ready, and he was told to summon. And he did. And he summoned all the men. But God looked and said, "Hey, you got too many. It was about 32,000 that came together. And the Lord said, if those 32,000 go down there and beat the Midianites, Israel's going to think they did it on their own and that I had no part of it. So he was told, let as many men go back home that wanted to, that might be afraid. And so Gideon did so. Well, that took away about 22,000, I think it was. And so he had a, still a pretty good size. God said, that's not enough. He says, take them down to the Jordan River and let them drink. And more or less keep the ones that cup the water in their hands and lap it like a dog from the cup. And the Lord said, but those who get down, to the water, to drink the water directly from the river, let them go home. Well, that got it down to 300 men. God's like, that's about right. He was then told to go down to the camp where the Midianites were. Go at night. And so he did, Gideon did. And he heard two men talking down there. And one man said, I just had a dream about this loaf of bread that came rolling down and it crushed into our tents and destroyed it. And he said, I don't understand. And his friend says, well, I can interpret that for you. It means that God's going to hand all of us into Gideon's hand, his warrior. Oh, my goodness. Gideon knew then that God was on his side, after all the miracles. He also knew that the Midianites were going to be scared. So what happened next? Well, Gideon went back to the men. He said, okay, all those that have left, I need for you to pick up their torches that they had and the trumpets that they had. The 300 of you that are left, I'm giving to you clay pots, and the torches are going to be inside. And so we're going to go down tonight. And we're up on a hill. And we're going to start yelling. And the trumpets are going to blow. And, for God, for Gideon, Gideon for God. And at that time, you're going to break those clay pots on the ground. Just imagine the noise. And light those torches and continue to blow your trumpets and continue to yell for God, Gideon for God. And in doing so, needless to say, the war came to an end pretty quick. In fact, what I gathered from the scripture, Gideon turned around and was noticing that people were killing themselves down there. The men were kind of running into themselves with the swords. They were just all confused. Well, needless to say, of course, Gideon's men went ahead and followed him out, la, 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 took care of him. After that, they didn't return. In fact, from what I gathered from the scripture, there was a peaceful time from then on. So, here we had this person, like, well, how does that go back as time to quit my job? Well, in this case, Gideon's old job was first as a judge to protect the people. That's what he was supposed to be, the fighter for them, bring them together so we can fight the people. Well, he couldn't do so because there were swarms of the Midianites. On the other hand, though, he had quit. He had done. But God called him back to his job. And he called him back, but he gave him strength as well. And so at this point, I can end the story and say we've talked about it all, but there's one thing that happened that really shouldn't have happened. And that was we have another particular item that was made by Gideon that he requested of the people. Get to it, Steve. Okay. Gideon turned around. They wanted him to be their new ruler, their king. He said, I'm not going to, only God can be. But I'll tell you what you can do. Israelites typically wore gold earrings. He said, take all your earrings, lay them here on the ground. And he took those and he made an ephod, which is something like a skirt that the high priest would wear. Weighed about 20 to 30 pounds, from what I gather, and hung it up in his hometown. Guess what the Israelites started worshiping? That. It was what I call a bane to him and a bane to his family. They just can't help themselves. And so that was the downside of where he ended. So good, a man who didn't have a lot of courage. God gave him the strength, the spirit came upon him, he was great. And he says, I know I won't be your king. Where in the world did he come up with the other one, knowing as bad as the Israelites were? That they always wanted something besides God to look to.
Right.
So,
Definitely wasn't thinking on that one.
the story is tonight, the main point is we all have a role when it comes to God. And we all sometimes try to push that. I would say sometimes with the website, I do a lot of praying, and I know you do too, for it to be successful in the sense that we're helping people and bringing people along. And sometimes we're pushing, and God likes that. You're wrong. And He likes for us asking Him for help. But the real truth of the matter, and not that we shouldn't stop, the real truth of the matter is when God really feels like putting His hand in there, it doesn't take 32,000 people to get it done. He's going to get done what He wants with one person who's going to pull together the number of people that God thinks that that person should pull together. And it'll all happen in God's time. But don't quit, folks. But you may be chosen by God to keep staying at that particular job that you're at for a while. Listen to your gut, watch your health. You just never know.
Good points. And I know we have a lot of people going through that right now, so that's a
It
great
is that
story.
time. Old folks used to say, you'll know when it's time to go. And I've always thought, I guess that means I'll know when the boss says you're fired.
Yeah.
That's one way.
Definitely time to go.
Or
Whether it's was your timing or not.
not.
Okay.
Well, that's all I got, boss.
I
I hope you enjoyed the story of Gideon.
did. I did.
So if
Thank
you
you
become
very much.
successful here, no aprons, please.
Can't hang your laundry on the laundry line.
Be careful. Be very careful.
No, thank you so much. Yeah, people just hang in there and you'll know and trust in the Lord with your plan.
Amen.
All right. Well, thanks, and we'll see you next week.
See everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.